Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, speaking of the wise men, and when they were coming to the house, again, they were no longer back behind the inn. They were in a house. It has been some time. It doesn't say the babe. It says the young child. So he's anywhere up to 2 years old at this point. The wise men come, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they, the wise men, saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him. Didn't give it to Mary. Didn't give the gifts to Joseph, even though he probably ended up with them. Presented unto Jesus gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now that's where we get our idea of giving it at Christmas. It's the best thing about Christmas. I know we all like to get gifts. Really, there's something wonderful about giving gifts, and this is where it comes from. And really, Christmas is about giving. But don't forget who we're supposed to be giving to. There's nothing wrong with giving gifts to one another, and we do it in honor of Jesus. But how? I want to answer a question this morning. How do you give a gift to Jesus? How do you give something to him when he's not here physically? I can give a gift to my wife. I can give a gift to my children, I can give a gift to you. Don't ask me to, because I'm broke, all right? But I can give gifts to people. But how do you give a gift to Jesus? And I want to show you how three people teach us that in a house, in a very rough situation. John chapter 12 now. And I call it Christmas in Bethany. Not in Bethlehem. Wherever Jesus was, it was Christmas, I believe. I mean, if you were blind and then all of a sudden you could see, would you say that was Christmas? If you had never been able to walk, if you were lame in your feet, not only in your mind, but if you were lame and unable to walk and Jesus came and he pulled you up and all of a sudden you could leap and dance and walk and shout and everything, wouldn't you say that was Christmas? If Jesus ever did anything, he made everybody's life awesome, amen? Anybody's life he touched, he made better. So wherever you find Jesus, you kind of find a little taste of Christmas there. In John chapter 12, in a little bitty town called Bethany, three very normal people teach us how to give something to Jesus. John chapter 12, and instead of it being Christmas morning, it's actually 33 years after the birth of Jesus. And it's in our Lord's final week. Somewhere around Tuesday or so, and he's about to go into Jerusalem for the last time and be crucified. He's staying kind of in this house like a B&B would be in a tiny village called Bethany. It's about 2 kilometers east of Jerusalem. It would be like now Luke walked into the village there the other day, very proud of him, and then walked back, didn't have to drive him, you know. Modern kids today have to drive them everywhere. But walked into the village, walked back. You know, it's about 2 kilometers from our house down into the center of the village. That's how far Bethany was from Jerusalem. You understand this, okay? So Jesus is just a stone's throw, just a little over a stone's throw, away from Jerusalem. And here is where three people live. Mary, not the mother of Jesus, but a different Mary. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They live there. Lazarus is kind of an unusual fellow, wouldn't you say? Because in just the previous chapter, he was dead. All right? He was not just dead, he was 4 days dead. That means dead. And Jesus comes in and changes the ticket. And he brings him back to life. And so this is where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live. And there's some gift giving going on that I'd really like you to see. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, he's always there, Simon's son, which should betray him. Watch what he says. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, the treasury bag, and bare that which was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the death of my burial, the day of my burying, hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye not have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Let's pray. Father, please open our eyes to three wonderful gift-giving things going on here this morning in this little house. And Lord, I pray that we would learn what we can give to you. It's been a wonderful Christmas already, just being together and having our church family and our own families. It's very precious, God. I don't think people realize how blessed we are. Lord, it's an absolute shame that we are a generation that takes almost everything for granted. The only thing we worry about is losing our phone. Lord, would you please burden our heart that we don't lose the moments we have together. I pray, God, that you'd speak to every heart. Draw every soul close to you. Let them see their condition. Let them see, Lord, just how worthless we are without you, and yet how priceless we are to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I noticed four things here, and it just was a remark, a series of notes I made that really just struck out to me. Who's the first person you see in chapter 12, who, besides Jesus? Who's the first person that showed up there, hmm? Well, it's Lazarus, where Lazarus was, but Martha. All right, Martha. You see Martha there. And when you see Martha, what's she doing, Nita? She's serving. Now, the first thing I want you to see is that Martha served. Have you noticed how much work at Christmas is done by so few? It's done by the Marthas. And usually, if work is done at Christmas, it's usually done by the women. Amen? Amen. Come on, gentlemen, just nod your head. You know, you're paying for it, but she's working it. Amen. Well, here it's Martha. Thank God for Marthas. Amen. It wouldn't be Christmas without Marthas. I married a wonderful Martha. I married a wonderful Martha named Nita. This is the same Martha that just the previous month. Let's go back to Luke. Hold your place here. I want to show you this Martha and how she was the first time Jesus meets her. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, in verse 38. Luke 10 and verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village. We know it's Bethany because that's where they live. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, you got to get the picture. She didn't receive just Jesus. Who did she take into her house? Yeah, so it's Jesus. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12 other men with him. And some of them brought their wives. We don't know how many's in this group, but Martha has this attitude that says, bring them all in. Those are rare women, amen? And she had a sister called Mary. Now, Mary had, she had a wise heart, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But look at verse 40. I want to show you the two Marthas here. Same Martha, two different occasions. Verse 40. But Martha. Oh, those words are scary. Just say these two words. But mama. Listen, you don't cross a Martha, okay? Martha ain't happy now. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Oh, wow. Don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Now, is Martha serving out of a servant heart? Yes or no? Is she working really hard? Does she want everything perfect? And nobody's helping her. So Bid her, therefore, as if to say, command her, tell her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care, and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Martha has chosen that good part, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Here is Martha. She was busy in Luke chapter 10. She was busy making dinners, cleaning up, trying to be a blessing, but she's totally stressed out. Hello, Christmas. She is overworked. She's complaining. Hello, Christmas. Why do we have to go to church on Christmas morning? How many of you said, don't raise your hand? And she's even given out to Jesus. She's praying, dear God, please get my sister. She's not helping me, so get her. She's giving out to her sister for not helping her. And who wouldn't be stressed out? I mean, there's a lot of cooking and cleaning. There's a lot of work at Christmas. And us guys, we're like, what's taking so long in there? But in chapter 12 of John, you don't see a but Martha, do you? This is the second time he comes to her house. This time is you see Martha, it says, look at verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha did what? This time she's serving and no complaining. Let me tell you this. The first time she wanted to be a blessing to Jesus, yes or no? She wanted everything to be right, yes or no? She was working her tail off. But she lost the joy, didn't she? The first gift that's given here is the gift of serving without complaining. How many of us parents notice our children will do what we say, but boy, do they have to carry on the complaining. There is no reward. Let me say this. There's no joy. There's no reward when you give something and you complain. It's like giving a gift and saying, you know, that cost me a lot of money. You better like this because, man, I went out of the way to get it for you. It just doesn't work, does it, man? Do you understand where I'm going? This first gift Martha gives, she couldn't give the first time. She hadn't learned the lesson of Mary, and that was, hey, Jesus is the reason. Jesus is here. And no matter what you go through, no matter what struggle it is, Jesus is not looking for the perfection. Jesus is not looking for the price tag. He's not looking for the wrapping. He's looking for the attitude. Are you listening? What is the attitude in your home? What is the attitude in our hearts about giving, or are we all just begrudgers? Give the gift of hard work, would you? Without the complaint. Some of you complained about coming this morning. I could hear you from my house. Some of you will complain about coming tomorrow. It is the Lord's Day tomorrow, amen? How can you if you're doing it for Jesus, how can you complain, amen? That's what Martha learned. A lot of you are hard workers. But some of you need to just switch this off and do it for Jesus. There is no gift when what you do is packaged in griping and complaining. Give Jesus the gift of a servant life. Some of you ladies are working and there's not a single person thanking you. I want to thank you. I want to thank my wife. I want to thank my daughters. I don't know what my son-in-law's done. But I want to thank the ladies that I've watched work very hard to make our Christmas very, very nice. Now, some of you probably aren't even paying attention to me right now. You will go home and you'll go, duh. But some people need to be appreciated. Let me tell you, even if nobody appreciates, if you did it for Jesus, he appreciates. Do you understand? Jesus said, just one thing is needful. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Just love him. Amen. With as simple as you have, whatever you have, do it with all your might. Do it with if you give and it's all you've got, and if they don't appreciate it, just do it as if it was to Jesus. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew. Hold your place here in John. Now go to Matthew chapter 25. I want to show you a great verse. Matthew chapter 25. And verse 40. This will fix a lot of our attitudes. See, we get bitter. We get angry. Nobody's appreciating me. Jesus does. Especially when it's done for him. If you're doing it for others, if you're doing it for your own glory, I'm going to tell you, it'll fall on its face flat. But Matthew 25 says this in verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto who? You did it to me. Next time you're doing something for somebody and they don't appreciate it, Jesus will. Give Jesus the gift of a servant's life. Isn't he the one that taught us to minister and to serve and to give? Don't worry about everything being perfect. Just have the right attitude this Christmas. Secondly, go back to John 12. Now I hit the men for a minute. Now we see Martha working there in chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper and Martha served. Okay, so we know Martha's busy serving. But what's Lazarus doing? Oh, he's doing what all men do very well. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. That's what men do, amen? We sit on the couch, at the table. But he's doing more. I call it the gift of supping. It's a good old word. Martha's gift is serving. Martha's gift, she doesn't have any money to give to Jesus. She doesn't have any fancy wrapping, but she has her best efforts, amen? That's a good gift. But Lazarus, he's still in shock over being raised from the dead, amen? So what's he going to do? What can you give to Jesus? Listen, Christmas is supposed to be some time of doing just nothing. I know the women won't get to do that until after. But, folks, we end up spending so much time watching TV, watching movies, watching the sports, and we don't do enough supping. Now, I don't mean not enough eating. We'll have food at our tables. But a sup is a good old word. You remember Revelation chapter 3:20 says this, Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. He doesn't want to just come and eat your food. He's not coming to eat. What does sup mean? It means sit down, talk, fellowship, be a family. Amen. What is family today? Hi, Mom. Thanks, Mom. I'm going to my room. With your dinner? That's what dinners have become. No, it's supposed to be sit around the supper table and talk and find out what's going on and just stay a while. What was Lazarus doing? As Martha was busy fixing and bringing stuff to the table, Lazarus pulled up a chair right next to Jesus and just sat there and listened to every word he said. And asked him every question he always wanted to ask him. And he said amen to the things that were great. Lazarus clued in. Lazarus learned from Mary the value of just listening. Amen. Lazarus' gift to Jesus was time with Jesus. Lazarus is a demonstration of just what's true today. The best gift you can ever give someone is your time and your attention. I've tried it several times. It hadn't been very successful, but I'm sitting running around and I'll see Nita in the kitchen alone and I'll go in there and I says, can I help? And you know, what's terrible about me is I'll work for about 6 minutes and then I'll think, oh, I got to go do this and I'm gone. And she'll just keep plodding along. That's a Martha. But you know, do you know what Martha's need sometimes is a Lazarus who will just sit and stay a while. And you can be such a blessing to one another when you just sit with somebody and stay a while. I remember when my great-grandmother, by the way, her name was Great-Grandma Craig. That was her last name. That's where I got my name from. But my great-grandmother was 93 years old. She had fallen and broken her hip. So she was in the hospital, and I was just a new Christian. I'd never known the value of old people until I got saved. And the older I get, the more valuable I think old people are. But I sat down and I remember my mom saying, go sit there and talk to your grandma, your great grandmother. Find out what it was like when in 1903 they brought the telephone in. And I'm talking about the old telephone. You rang it. And if it were four rings, it went bzz, 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 bzz. That was your phone. If it was five, it was your neighbors. And everyone always picked up the phone at the same time to listen to everybody's conversation. But she said, go sit in there and talk. And I remember the first time I went and I sat down with my great-grandmother. I didn't leave for 3 hours. The stories she told of the tornadoes and of childhood and of things. And I tell you what, I never realized just being there, I learned so much, but she passed it down to my grandmother and then to my mom saying, that was the biggest gift anybody's given to me in a long time, just having my great-grandson sit there and listen to me tell the old stories. And the point is this, we know the value of one another. How much more valuable it is when I can just spend time with him. Where when my worries, when my burdens are so heavy and I'm so stressed out and I will not get on the side of my bed, I will not stop and say, we need to talk. Can we just sit for a while? Can I just give you me for a little while and know that everything will be all right? That is a gift you can give to Jesus today. I know you'll want to watch. I don't know what's going to be on television. I don't know what all you're going to do. But you really could get a little bit of time aside and say, Lord, I love you. God, I just want to let you know, I promise you, this life of mine is going to be given more to you. Time-wise, I want to listen to you. I want to be more at church and listen to you. I just want to sit there like Lazarus and listen and worship you. That's a gift to Jesus. That's loving Jesus. Just like it is when somebody just sits down and says, how are you? And you go, do you really want to know? Lazarus just sat there and supped with Jesus. By the way, a load of people started trusting and following Jesus, not just because Jesus was there, but because Lazarus was there. How many people will actually be interested in learning about Jesus by watching your life? It won't be because you got an old life. They weren't interested in the old Lazarus. What kind of Lazarus were they interested in? The resurrected one. You see, there is a difference between the old life and the new me. Before I was saved, I couldn't get anybody interested in Craig Ledbetter. Now that I'm saved, anybody that starts looking my way, I say it's all because of him. Amen. Lazarus had an effect. The third gift. Now it's Mary's turn. This time, Mary's not just sitting there. Look at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, not an ounce, but a pound of ointment of spikenard. That's perfume, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I call this the gift of spending. Now, I know all of you can give that gift. But I'm talking about a different kind of spending. She breaks open a very expensive gift that was intended for herself. It's amazing how much we spend, not on others, but on ourselves. Most of us, when we buy our kids gifts, you know what we're buying them for? Ourselves. Come on, it's true, isn't it? I mean, when I bought my kids a train set, it was for me. Amen? The kids are off watching television. I'm still running around that train set going around. Amen? It's amazing how much we spend on ourselves. But this box of ointment contained a pound of ointment. I mean, you buy expensive perfume and it's, you know, a quarter ounce, a half ounce, and it's 75 euros. I don't know why they call it de toilette. I'm not sure I want to use something out of the toilette. But the real stuff is very, very expensive. This would cost a year's wages. If you saved up all of your wages for a year and then went and bought something with it, that's the cost of this perfume. What she was doing, this was something that everybody was supposed to purchase. You're supposed to save up and purchase this box of perfume for the day for your burial. It was, you know, you didn't count on anybody anointing you and preparing you for your funeral. You didn't have funeral homes doing it. You prepared for your own death. And when she had that there, she was her most expensive thing, and she said, I'm going to spend it on Jesus. This was hers. It was meant for her, and it was paid for by her. And she gave it unreservedly to Jesus. Mary could have held on to that box. She could have kept it all for herself. But she realized this was her opportunity to give to Jesus. It ought to be so easy to spend on the Lord. You don't spend in pennies. You spend in self. You spend in whole lives. She emptied that box all over the Lord, even on his feet. I mean, honestly, Except for, let's see, you got some toenail polish. Do not buy me toenail polish. Because that's waste. You're never going to see it. What do you do for feet? Well, she poured it out even on his feet. And then she emptied out herself. I mean, how embarrassing. Everybody watching as she wiped and she spread that around with her own hair. Does anybody see this relationship that Jesus and Mary have? It developed back and now it's grown, amen? Martha's changed, Lazarus has changed, and Mary has just blossomed in a relationship with the Lord. She didn't think twice about giving her best. How many of you would hesitate going, when it comes to giving something to Jesus? I don't think you should give your leftovers to Jesus, would you? It's easy to give what we don't want. A lot of people have leftover, you know, their leftover time they try to give to Jesus. Guess what? There is no such thing as leftover time. Amen? Always gets sucked up. Leftover money? How many of you have leftover money you'd like to give to the Lord today? It's not there. You have to give him first place, don't you? Whole house was filled with the wonderful smell of the gift. Philippians 4:18 says, our lives, when we live it just for Jesus, when we do things and nobody else notices, when we give our best, it says we are a sweet-smelling savor in the nose of our Lord, in his heaven. Four. Look in verse 4. It doesn't go so smoothly. You think everybody will go, smells like Christmas. No. Verse 4, then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, he says this, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then Jesus said, Judas said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Folks, the fourth gift is what I call the gift of striving in a good sense. See, here comes some conflict. Whenever you try to set out to do something just for the Lord, guess what? There's always going to be a reason not to do it. There's always going to be, there's a better thing you could have done with that money. There's a better thing you could have done with your time. Or you could have Lazarus, there are other things that you could be doing. There's always a reason why not to do something. There'll always be someone who will try and stop you from doing what you should do. Maybe your husband may be just stopping you. You sit down. I mean, you and your wife just have a fight. And you're sitting down in bed. And then you sit down and you got your Bible out. You're going to read the Bible. You haven't read the Bible in a month now, remember. And you sit down, you're going to read. And your wife sits down next to you and says, hypocrite. And you go, give it up. Amen? Amen? There's always going to be somebody. You're going to say, I need to get back right with God. And somebody's going to try to stop you. Probably won't be your wife. Probably be you stopping her. You'd be surprised at what comes out of our mouth. Here's Judas, one of his apostles, trying to stop this woman from giving such a wonderful gift. There's always going to be someone who's going to embarrass you, someone try and stop you. Something will always go wrong. And Judas can't believe his eyes or his nose. He smells that and he goes, that's a lot of money. You can always identify backslidden Christians and unsaved people. You know how you can identify them? They'll see somebody doing something just for Jesus, and they'll get upset. Where do you think you're going, Mr. Spiritual? You go, I'm going to church. Oh, yeah. And you can always tell somebody's unsaved or backslidden just because they'll get offended. They'll only see a waste of time. They'll only think of themselves. And they'll end up robbing God of a blessing. Who is this for? What is this day for? It's for Jesus. Now, we all got the benefit, didn't we? None of you are going to be skinnier in 3 hours. Amen? Who gets a benefit from this thing? But people say this is such a waste of time. There is bigger and bigger push right now to take back Christmas from religion. What? What? The Bible has hijacked Christmas. Really? Folks, wake up and realize the world has no idea what we're doing. They're going to say, you're wasting your time. No, this is the reason why there's a Christmas. Anyone who sets out to live a life just for Jesus Christ is always going to be misunderstood. John, chalk it up. Your friends, bye-bye. People look at you and go, what are you doing? They did that to me. I remember when I resigned from the telephone company and they thought, what a nut. What a nut. Amen. Well, I'm in a bag with a bunch of other nuts too. Amen. Praise God. Anyone who actually gives above the norm will always be made out to be a freak. Anyone who decides that the greatest commandment is worth obeying will not be popular. Folks, we just do things just for Jesus. The gift of striving. People will go, do anything to try and slow you down, discourage you. Just strive forward. That's what striving is. Just stay faithful. Just keep doing God's will. Keep the right attitude for the Lord. And then the last thing, look at verse 7 and 8. I want you to see something really important here because maybe you miss it. But in verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, which was coming very soon, it's just 6 days later, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. The gift of serving, the gift of supping, the gift of spending, the gift of striving. But the last thing I want to say is you need to do it straight away. You need to give straight away, which means now. You've only got one life and maybe only one opportunity to do for something for Jesus. Luke, you and your wife are over there. My daughter, by the way. I don't care how long you've been married, she's still my daughter. You've only got one life. You've only got one chance to serve the Lord. Whatever you do, do it now. Don't live for 20 years from now. Don't say, I'm going to. No, do now. You see, if you're going to give anything to Jesus, you do it now. That's what Mary has done. Mary hasn't waited for him to be dead. She didn't understand what's going on in her heart. She didn't understand how she's being moved to give such a priceless gift in preparation for his burial. She doesn't understand all that. She just knows she has to do it now. Because a week from now, it'll be too late. Somebody said it this way. If you want to give me flowers, do it now, not when I'm dead. Amen? I don't really particularly like flowers, but I'll take them. That's all you're going to give me. But, come on, you understand what I'm saying, that if you're going to do something for me, you're going to take me out to eat. Let me say that. If you're going to take me out to eat, do it now. Amen? Not when I don't have any teeth. My digestion's gone. You understand what I'm saying? And if you're going to do something for the Lord now, do it now, not in heaven. Amen? Too many of you are so, and I'm speaking to all of us, including myself, we're so wrapped up in everything we have to do, and we forget. I have to honor him. I've got to do something to please him. I've got to do something that's just for him. And I need to do it today. That's why I read my Bible. Yeah, I get the benefit out of it, but he gets a blessing out of me listening to him, me yielding to him. Do it today. Do it straight away. If the Lord can have anything in your life, it ought to be an instant heart of, Lord, what will thou have me to do? What can I do? Do it straight away. None of us have the guarantee of tomorrow. I remember being 17 years old, coming to church, sitting in church. It took 6 or 7 weeks before the penny dropped, before I finally realized that book was about me. That cross was to save me. Jesus died and took my place on the cross. And all of a sudden I realized, and as the preacher said, and he said it over and over, he says, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. You can get out of that car, you can be driving along fine, you could be full in control of the wheel, but the person on the other side of the road may lose control. And in a half a second, you could be dead. You say, well, what can you do? You don't wait until then to wish you had lived for God. You don't wait before you stand before God and says, I was going to get saved, Lord, I was going to get born again, I was going to trust you, and the Lord says, it's too late now. Almost is not enough. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. God commendeth his love in that while we were yet sinners, not when you get your life all fixed up, but as a sinner, you need to get born again. And he offers you the free gift. If you reject the free gift, it's not some awful sin that you do that sends you to hell. It's the rejection of the Savior that sends you to hell. The fact that you say, I don't need him now. You need him now, because then it'll be too late. If you're going to give to the Lord, do everything you do. She made cinnamon rolls this morning. Oh, some of you don't know what that is. Oh, she did it for us. No, stay away. Nita did that for us. I'm sure you guys did some wonderful things for your family. Just make sure as you do it, and nobody appreciates as you serve, ladies, and as you work real hard. Maybe some of you men, especially Edberto, although I know his wife's just as good a cook as him. But as you do things, remember, don't get upset, don't get cantankerous, don't try to kill anybody. Do it for Jesus, amen. Martha learned not to get all upset over the overmuch serving, amen. Make sure you keep that same balance too. When you are, gentlemen, just sitting there and holding your grandchildren and hold on to your kids and stuff, just realize God wants you to hold him too. Amen? He just wants to spend time with you too. Do not miss the opportunity at your bedside in the morning before you get rushed off to spend time with Jesus. Do not miss that time. And then when you are busy spending, and I know all your money's already gone, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, you know what, Lord, I gave you not the leftovers, but I'm giving you my best. And this year, coming up 2011, you've got first place. Wouldn't that be a great gift? Wouldn't that be a great gift? I know this. You can't outgive God. He owes no one. So if you ever give, it's always called a lend. He always pays back with a lot of interest. And then strive. Some of us had a hard year this year. Amen? Come on. It's been a hard year. Well, it may get harder next year. I can't say. I'm just going to keep striving, keep going, keep plodding. Why? It's all for Jesus. Why was Mary? They're laughing at her. Judas is up there going, what is this? It's humiliating to her. But she's doing it for Jesus. She's striving anyway. You may have everyone on the job actually thinking you're the biggest nutcase ever. You bring your Bible. You hand out gospel tracts. You're telling them they need to come to church. They need to be born again. And they're going, you know what that means, don't you?
Loser.
Or lunatic, whichever one. Strive, but do it straight away. Father, please. As we really get into Christmas Day, I pray, God, that we would forget just a minute about everything else. And just focus on Jesus. The whole reason why that house was what it was because of Jesus. It had been just a little house in a little village on the backside of Jerusalem. Nobody went to Bethany, but Jesus did. And he raised Lazarus from the dead, and oh, he can save some lost, dead soul this morning. We can't do anything like Lazarus. We can only want you to do something. And you can resurrect the hardest heart. You can save the coldest soul. Lord, it's because of that changed life in Lazarus. It's because of the change in Martha. It's because of the growth in Mary that Jesus loved going to that house. He loved going to that house. I pray you love coming to our house. Could we really take Christmas more seriously this year? Please, let us all have a Christmas in Bethany this year, where we actually are able to give you something. First of all, from our hearts, give you our sin debt. Let somebody receive the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. And let every Christian in this room, Lord, instead of always getting, may we become a giver ourselves, especially to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's grab our hymnal.